In the early 1970s, a young copywriter for an advertising agency working on L'Oréal Paris's account, the well-known cosmetic and hair products company, came up with this four-word phrase, "Because I'm worth it." Those four words, along with the variation, "Because you're worth it," has become a legendary strapline in advertising. Can we have the picture for a moment? Oh, it's there. And in fact, you'll see L'Oréal was so pleased with it that 40 years on, they celebrated that advertising slogan. Thank you. 3 weeks ago, for those of you who were here and may remember, after us singing our creedal song that we sometimes sing, "I Believe," declaring our faith in God, the Holy Trinity, I got an overwhelming sense that God was saying to us, "I know you believe in me, but do you know I believe in you?" And then that L'Oréal phrase that I've known for years came into my head. Ever since that Sunday, 3 weeks ago, as I've been thinking and praying about what I was going to say this morning, I felt that I wanted to share something of what the Lord was saying on that morning. As it's the annual meeting today, I will try to be brief. I've been told that my microphone will be switched off after 10 minutes. But I want to ask you a question. Where do you get your worth from? For Paul, of course, we've just heard in the epistle that before his dramatic Damascus Road experience, he got it from his religion, from his ancestry, from his education, from his own sense of righteousness. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, "I have more," wrote Paul. "Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." But as I was reading those words and thinking, I feel that if we're absolutely honest, we all know what Paul was saying, even if we don't admit it in church. We so often count our worth on those kind of things. It may be our bank balance. It may be which university we went to, or the golf club that we belong to. But one thing that Paul's list and our supposed lists have is they all are things which we have or we do which give us our self-worth. And because of that, they make us feel worthy. We actually deserve to be somebody because of these things that we do or were born into or where we live. By contrast, in Christian circles, it's drummed into us in our liturgy, in our hymns, in the songs we sing, that we're not worthy. That wonderful modern song that has become so common here, reckless love, has a line in it: I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. And those of you who are old enough to know the old Book of Common Prayer, Confession for Morning Prayer, it has that wonderful line describing us as miserable sinners. And I've been in lots of churches where it's easy to believe that. But of course, the reality is we are not worthy of God's love or grace or forgiveness in and of ourselves, whatever our background, whatever our bank balance, however faithful we are coming to church Sunday by Sunday. We are not worthy in ourselves. But here is the problem that I believe God was addressing and wants to speak into this morning. It's the confusion in our thinking between our worth and being worthy. In a church like this, it's perhaps strange that there is that confusion in thinking, because we're all familiar with verses like Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, unworthy, Christ died for us. So we all agree, do we not, that in our sin and rebellion, we are unworthy in and of ourselves. Yet, he still loves us. And we profess that to be true. But the reality can be different. There are people who have deep inside them a sense that they're not worth it. They might not say it in Christian circles, that they don't think they were worth Jesus dying for them. Of course not. That would be heretical. But the reality is, there are many, many people who think of themselves as worthless. And if we're honest, we probably all know people who think like that. And some of us may know people we see in the mirror every morning who think like that. In fact, 3 weeks ago, after sharing that word at the end of the service and actually saying I felt there were people, somebody bravely came up for prayer, admitting, perhaps for the first time in that context, privately and confidentially, that they felt themselves worthless. And it was a precious time praying for them and declaring the truth of God's value for them into their lives. But why do so many folk struggle with this? Why do so many folk not really believe that God loves them? Scripture tells us, does it not, that for many, our worth is tied up with our performance, with our ancestry, what church we go to, what club we belong to. Like Paul before his Damascus Road experience. And the problem, as I've already stated, is that we consider that our worth is tied up with what we do and where we come from. But isn't the good news of the gospel that in God's eyes, all those things which we count as valuable, he doesn't dismiss them. He doesn't say, it doesn't matter what university you went to, what club you belong to, what family you belong to. Those have their place in our lives. But his assessment of our worth is not based on any of those. In fact, Paul is so convinced of that, he calls all those catalogue of things that he's listed, the beginning of our first reading, he calls them rubbish. I consider them rubbish compared with. And if you look up the Greek for rubbish, the word Paul literally uses is animal excrement. I count them all animal excrement. My wife warned me to not use any other words for it. But Paul says, I consider them rubbish compared with. Compared with what? Compared with knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and being found in him. And herein lies the foundation of our worth according to God. It is him inviting us, whoever we are, whatever our background, whatever our achievements are, calling us into that intimate relationship with him through Christ. But now comes perhaps the most amazing outcome of that of all. God's pronouncement that we are worth it because he says so is that when we turn to Christ, when we receive his Holy Spirit, he begins the process of making us worthy. Paul goes on to say, being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. That means what he did, who he was, where he was born, etc. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. When we receive Christ, we are not worthy in ourselves, but because God declares us worth it, he makes us worthy. Because he imparts to us his righteousness, his own worth. Of course, it's not instantaneous. It's a process. And it's a process that we are meant to be involved in. That's why Paul goes on to say, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. This is the outcome of God declaring that you and I are worth it. Now I'm conscious that we've got an APCM coming up, but there's one last thing I must mention briefly, and it's this. If we are worth it, what about them out there? What about the ISIS terrorists? What about the people who go through their daily lives without thought for God, except perhaps as a swear word. Are they worth it? Well, of course, the answer is yes. They're just as worth it as us, because Jesus died for them. And that should have an impact on us, how we view other people. We all have a tendency, if we're really honest, to view other people almost by our standards, or to view other people by what they do. What so often the first question that people are asked by the compare of quiz shows on the television? What do you do? But we need to pray that God will enable us to see every single person we meet in this coming week, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, whether they're like us or as unlike us as they could possibly be, but to see them as people who in God's eyes are worth it. Worth what? Jesus dying for them. So we put great emphasis, don't we, on what we believe about God. But I want to suggest that we take time today or this week to listen to what he says about us. To hear his still small voice saying, I believe in you. Because you're worth it. And then look in the mirror and say, thank you, Father God, that you sent Jesus because I'm worth it. And then believe it and live it. And then to let that influence how we see everyone else we encounter. Paul wrote, I consider everything a loss compared with the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith.